Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of our sermon today is Inheritance and Experience, or you could even call it Inheritance versus Experience. Romans 8, verse 14. It says there, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." God has put his testimony on record and sworn that to that testimony. When God has put himself on record, what can you bring to corroborate that word? When God has spoken, will you bring up the testimony of a man to sustain it? No, the word of God is our anchor. It enters in within the veil where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. When you go to your home, to your room, recognize the voice of God speaking to you. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. It means something to be a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold it. It is too wonderful for the human mind to grasp fully. Poor, unworthy, miserable creatures, worthy of nothing, yet God has had such an infinite love for us that he has made it us worthy to be his sons, and he gives us everything that he gives to Christ. The Father loves us just as much as he loves his only begotten Son. How do we know? By the fact that he let his only begotten Son die to save us from death. We share with Christ all the love that the Father has for him. Christ cannot enter into his inheritance without us because we are joint heirs with Christ. If you and I are joint heirs to an estate, we must have it together. By and by, when Christ takes his own throne, we will take it too. And it is something that God reveals to us now. We must not put it all off to the golden street of the New Jerusalem, to the pearly gate and the walls of Jasper. Everything that Christ has, we have now. Like David, we can say, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance," Psalm 16:6. Jesus says, "You have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me," John 17:23. And it pays to note here that we have everything that Christ has now. We have it in title. And when we believe, then we receive it into our experience. Think of it. God has only one only begotten Son, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. He is the well-beloved, but oh, the wideness of his love that he is able to take us into it, to adopt us into his family, and to make us share that same title that his only begotten Son shares. The world did not recognize him as the divine Son of God, the heir of heaven, so it will not recognize us as the sons of God and heirs of heaven. But we are the children of God now, just as much his sons now as we ever will be. The glory of the sonship is not manifested in us, but when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him. The throne to which we come and make our petitions is both a throne of grace and a throne of glory. The grace that is bestowed is equal to the measure of the glory that there is in that throne. That glory is, by and by, going to be revealed in us, so that this poor, vile body will shine like the sun. This is our assurance that the measure of that grace may be revealed in us now. just as our sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, so the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the grace that is given us at this present time to endure them. The grace is equal to the glory. By looking at these promises this way, we can see how heaven begins right here on earth. We have the Spirit of God, and the sons of God is entering upon the riches of our inheritance now. And if we continue to be the sons of God, we continue in our inheritance right along through eternity, the only difference being that when the Son of God comes, we shall have the full inheritance and glory of it. Wherein was Adam the figure of Christ? In his righteousness? No, for he did not keep it. In his sin? No, for Christ did not sin. Wherein then was Adam the figure of Christ? In this, that all that were in the world were included in Adam, and all that are in the world are included in Christ. In other words, Adam represented the whole world, and Jesus now represents the whole world. In other words, Adam in his sin reached all the world, and Jesus Christ, the second Adam in his righteousness, touches all humanity. The first Adam touched all of us. What he did included all of us. What he did made us what we are. Now, here is another Adam. Does he touch as many as the first Adam did? The answer, it is certainly true that what the second Adam did embraces all who were embraced in what the first Adam did. Does the second Adam's righteousness embrace as many as does the first Adam's sin? Look closely. Without our consent, we were all included in the first Adam. Jesus, the second man, touched us in all points. The first Adam brought man under the condemnation of sin. The second Adam's righteousness undoes that and makes every man live again. Every man is free to choose which way he will go. Therefore, he is responsible for his own individual sins. Let me say that again. The first Adam brought man under the condemnation of sin. The second Adam's righteousness undoes that and makes every man live again. Every man is free to choose which way he will go. Therefore, he is responsible for his own individual sins. When Christ stood where we are, he said, "I will put my trust in him." That trust was never disappointed. The Father dwelt in him and with him and kept him from sinning, and thus the Lord Jesus has brought to every man in the world divine faith, saving faith. And ladies, that includes you as well. It is not gender specific here. Shall he who believes in Jesus allow that which Christ condemned in the flesh to rule over him in the flesh? It is true that although a man may have all this in Jesus, he cannot profit by it, or he cannot experience it. That would be the profit of it, to experience it. He cannot experience it without himself being a believer in Jesus. If this man wants to have Christ for his Savior, if he wants provision made for all his sins and salvation from them, does Christ have to do anything now in order to provide for this man's sins? No, that is all done. He made all that provision for every man when he was in the flesh, and every man who believes in him receives this without there being any need of any part of it being done over again. Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever, Hebrews 10, verse 12. Thus, every believer in him is complete, and that includes our experience. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2, verse 9. And God gives his eternal spirit and eternal life, eternity in which to live, in order that that eternal spirit may reveal to us and make known to us the eternal depth of the salvation that we have in him. The God of this world blinds no man until he has shut his eyes of faith. If we keep our eyes open, and our eyes focused on Jesus, we cannot be blinded by the devil. The god of this world blinds no man until he has shut his eyes of faith. Then Satan will see that they are kept shut as long as possible. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Why did the god of this world blind their minds? Because they believe not. The Lord will not compel anyone to be righteous. Everyone sins upon his own choice, and everyone can be made righteous at his choice. No man will die the second death who has not chosen sin rather than righteousness. In Christ there is furnished in completeness all that man needs or ever can have in righteousness, and all there is for any man to do is to choose Christ. Oh, dear friend, let's choose him today. Saving faith is not something that comes from ourselves. Saving faith is not something that comes from ourselves with which we believe on him, that is, on Christ. It is that something with which Christ believed, the faith which he exercised, which he brings to us, and which becomes ours and works in us, the gift of God. That is what the word means. Here are those who keep or cherish the commandments of God and cherish the faith of Jesus, Revelation 14:12. They that keep or cherish the faith of Jesus, because it is that defined faith which Jesus exercised himself. He brought to us that divine faith by which we can say with him, I will put my trust in him. That trust will never be disappointed us then. God responded then to his trust and dwelt with him. God will respond today to that trust in us and will dwell with us. So as Jesus trusted in the Father, we also can trust in the Father. That trust today will never be disappointed any more than it was then. God responded then to his trust, that is Christ's trust, and dwelt with him. God will respond today to that trust in us and will dwell with us also. Therefore, his name is Emmanuel, God with us, not God with him. God was with him before the world was. He could have remained there and not come here at all, and still God would have remained with him, and his name could have been God with him. But what we needed was God with us. Oh, that is his name. Rejoice that in that name forevermore. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. As far as practical, let's stand for the benediction. Our benediction is taken from Romans chapter 8. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone, and have a good rest of the Sabbath.